Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is like my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do not wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than you ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answers to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends his greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So here's this letter to Philemon. Let's have it open in front of us, page 1200. But it's not just to Philemon. Who else was it written to? Somebody tell me, who else was this letter written to? There in verse 2. Who else was it written to? Apphia. Thank you, Miles. And Archippus. That's right. So Apphia might have been Philemon's wife and Archippus their son. Not quite sure. And who else? Who else was the letter written to? Jacob? The church, that's right, yes. And we're told, aren't we, that the church meets in Philemon's house. So maybe he was some sort of church leader. And verse 10 is the first place where it mentions Onesimus. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. So what do we learn about Onesimus from that verse? From verse 10. What does that tell us about Onesimus? Is it George or Thomas? Thomas. He was born in... Chains. Okay. That's... When it says, I was in chains, that's talking about Paul, okay? So Paul is in prison at the moment as he writes. That's what he means when that Paul is in chains. It's so when it says he became my son, it's not talking about him being, not that Paul is his dad, like his human dad. It's not saying that Onesimus was born. What is it saying? Yes, Andrew.
He became like a son to Paul.
Okay.
So close and helpful to him.
Okay. How did he become like a son to Paul? What happened?
He became a Christian.
Who did he become a Christian through? Who helped him to become a Christian? Yes, Michelle.
Paul,
that's right. Okay, so he became a Christian through Paul, whilst Paul was in prison. Okay, now look at verse 15 and 16. Still talking about Onesimus. Perhaps the reason he, Onesimus, was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. So next question, what had Onesimus been? A slave, that's right. Okay, Onesimus had been a slave. Whose slave had Onesimus been? We're doing a bit of detective work here. Jacob. He had been Philemon's slave, hadn't he? And what sort of a slave had he been? You might like to have a look at verse 11. What sort of a slave had Onesimus been? Jacob?
Useless.
Useless, yes, that's right. If you look at the footnote, there's a little bit of a joke going on here because Onesimus' name means useful. Yeah, Mr. Useful was actually useless. Maybe he was lazy. Maybe he didn't do his work very well. We don't know. Instead of being a useful servant, he was a useless servant. Is he still Philemon's servant? No, he isn't, is he? Well done, Shabley. No, he's no longer Philemon's servant. He is with Paul, isn't he? And Paul is away in prison. So what does that tell us about Onesimus? And you might like to have a look at verse 18 here. Paul talks about Onesimus doing something wrong to Philemon and maybe owing him some money. He's away from Philemon, yes. How's that happened? Yes, Jacob. He's no longer a slave. Yeah, but how did that... Sorry? Runaway slave. That's right. Yes, thank you. He's run away, hasn't he? So not only was he a useless slave, he's now a runaway slave. He's run away from his master. So I think we could put a bit of a timeline together of Onesimus' life. What's the earliest thing, if we were to make a timeline of Onesimus' life, what's the earliest thing we know about him? He was born, indeed he was. Where was he born, do you think? Probably not, actually. Probably in those days he was born at home, actually. But where was he? What was the name of the place, the town? Yes, Isaac. Colossae, that's right. Yes, okay. So let's have he was living in Colossae. And what was he doing when he was living in Colossae? What was he doing? He was a slave. Whose slave was he, Miles? I nearly called you Philemon then. he was Philemon's slave, wasn't he? Okay. And then what happened? What happened to what's the next bit? What's the next thing in his timeline? Yes, Amy. Well, yes, and he ran away, didn't he? Okay, maybe those two things happened at the same time. He stole some money in order to run away, as it were. So he had something to live on. So there he runs away. Who does he meet? next after he runs away? Who does he meet? Yes, Theo. He meets Paul, doesn't he? Yes. And then what happens to him when he meets Paul? Yes, Theo. He becomes a Christian. Brilliant. You're on fire. Great. Okay. And what's he doing now?
Being a Christian.
He is being a Christian. Yes, absolutely. Not quite. Yes.
Yes,
that's right. What did I have as the answer? he's helping Paul. Okay, that's helping Paul. But then he's being sent back to Philemon with this letter. Okay, so after he became a Christian, he was helping Paul. He was looking after Paul, and then now he's being sent back to Colossae with this letter. And what does Paul want Philemon to do? Paul is writing this letter to Philemon. What does he want him to do? Maybe look at verse, we heard it in verse 15. Are you putting your hand up or are you just closing the window, Jacob? That's right. He wants him to welcome Onesimus back, doesn't he? And not just as a slave, but as a brother. Yes. Okay. Now, remember, Philemon is a master and Onesimus is the slave. And there is a huge gap between those two sorts of people. It's a bit like the gap between the Queen and the person who cleans the toilets at Buckingham Palace. An enormous gap. And not only that, but Onesimus was a useless slave. He'd actually stolen from his master and he'd run away from his master. And that's the sort of person that Paul is wanting Philemon to welcome back. No longer as a slave, but as a brother, as an equal, a member of the same family. Now why should Philemon do that? Why should he welcome Onesimus back? Because he's a good boy? No. Hey? Wanted to be on Santa's good list? It doesn't mention Santa here at all, Miles. Hang on, let's see if I've got a hand here from Ben. But any youngsters? Why should... Oh, Jacob.
Because he should be given a second chance.
He should... Well, that's true, but it's not really quite what it says here, is it? What does it say? What's the reason here in the letter that... Go on, Jacob. Because he's a Christian, because he is a brother. Okay, he should be welcomed back as a brother, because now that he's become a Christian, he is his brother. Not by birth, but by new birth. So when somebody becomes a Christian, it not only changes our relationship with God, it changes our relationship with other Christians. Just have a look around you this morning. Go on, have a look around at each other. Okay? If you are a Christian, you are looking at your brothers and sisters. The family bond between us is deeper and stronger than in a human family, because it lasts forever. It's a family not brought about by accident, not brought about by human decision, but by the deliberate plan of God. And a family brought together at great expense, at the expense of Jesus' death. So what a precious family it is. Now, none of us have been slaves or masters to each other. We probably haven't stolen anything from each other. Although there's maybe one or two books I need to give back. But we are from different backgrounds. Some of us have got lots of money. Some of us have got not much money. Some of us have got lots of brains. Some of us have got not much brains. Some of us are born and bred in Wilmslow. Some of us are recent arrivals. But if we belong to Jesus, those differences do not matter. We're to treat each other as if those differences were not there, because we now belong to Jesus' family. I wonder if there's somebody in our church family whom you need to welcome back. Somebody you've fallen out with. Somebody who's upset you. Who's let you down. Who's hurt you. As Onesimus had done to Philemon. Are you willing to forgive them? To start talking to them again? To open your home and your heart to them? Let me say, right across the ages, from the youngest to the oldest, we can't be falling out with each other. And if we do, we need to get back together as quickly as we can. Because we're denying the family that Jesus died to make. We're denying that brother or sister whom Jesus died for, just as much as he died for me. I want to ask again, who was this letter written to? Well, clearly it was written to Philemon. It is a direct appeal to him, this man who was a mature member of the church at Colossae, in some sort of leadership role, maybe. And I wonder if you noticed that he actually became a Christian through Paul, the end of verse 19 there. Paul gently reminds him, "You owe me your very self." We know that Paul had never been to Colossae, so Philemon is one of the few Christians at Colossae that Paul knew personally. And verse 5, he's heard recent news about his faith and his love. So Philemon is still trusting Jesus. But this letter was not a private one. It didn't have private and confidential written across the top of it. Quite the opposite. It was an open letter. We've seen that it was addressed to the church. So this rather personal letter was to be read aloud to the whole church. When we read the word "you" in the middle of the letter, it's in the singular, referring to Philemon, but "you" at the beginning and end of the letter is plural, referring to the whole church. So what's the significance of that? Well, it means that this welcome back for Onesimus is a concern for the whole church. Yes, it was personal, but if it doesn't happen, the whole church will be affected. The whole church will be damaged, especially when it involves a senior member like Philemon. That's the same today. If two Christians within a church have fallen out with each other, if there has been no forgiveness and restoration, then the whole church is tainted. The whole church is weakened by that broken fellowship. So if that's you, please don't wait for the other person to make the first move, because then the brokenness will still be there. Do you see how important it is? We are loving and forgiving towards one another. It affects the whole church. Let's ask another question. Why is Onesimus returning to Colossae? Well, the simple answer is he's taking Paul's letters. But there's more to it than that. Paul knows that he's a runaway slave. Paul knows that he is Philemon's runaway slave. No doubt Onesimus would willingly have stayed with Paul caring for his needs. Indeed, Paul himself says, verse 13, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But Paul knows that that is not an option. Now that Onesimus has become a Christian, his course of action is clear. He must go back to his master, the master he has wronged, and give himself up. Onesimus is far away from Colossae. He could have easily made sure that he never saw his master again, but that's not an option. He must go back and give himself up. Now, that wouldn't be an easy thing to do. In those days, a runaway slave was severely punished. Rome did all it could to make sure it didn't catch on. Onesimus was no doubt anxious about the sort of reception that he might receive. But nevertheless, it was still the right thing to do. He had the encouragement of this letter. Paul is doing everything he can to persuade Philemon to welcome him back. But the outcome is not guaranteed. Yet it is still the right thing for Onesimus to do. So I wonder if there is some wrong that you need to put right. Whether that goes back to when you first became a Christian, or as recently as yesterday. Real repentance is not simply saying sorry to God. It also involves seeking forgiveness, making amends with those we've hurt, making restitution wherever possible. Won't always be possible. Perhaps the person's no longer alive. But it seems that just time and distance was no excuse for Onesimus. Paul knew, and I'm sure he knew, that he had to go back and give himself up. In fact, that's the instinct of new life, the new instinct of a changed heart. Do you remember Zacchaeus? He met Jesus and said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." And it was when Jesus heard him say that, that Jesus then said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." The instinct of new life. Putting things right. Making amends. So here's the point. Coming to Christ will always lead to change. If there's no signs of change, no willingness to make amends, then there has been no coming to Christ. It won't happen all overnight. We don't know how long Onesimus had been converted. But here he is, changing from runaway slave to obedient slave, from now useful to his master. The right thing to do, regardless of how hard it might be. And perhaps some of us have the opportunity to serve in Paul's role, helping a Christian brother or sister to return, to make amends, being the mediator between two Christians who've fallen out with each other. Not to shrug our shoulders, but from Paul's example of gentleness and grace, willing to be that mediator that is sometimes needed when relationships are broken down. It was, of course, a big ask for Philemon too, to welcome back this runaway slave. He would have been well within his legal rights to hand Onesimus over to the jailer. And if he did not, well, you can be pretty sure that his fellow slave owners would regard him as weak and foolish. show no mercy or you'll encourage the rest, was their attitude. So yes, a big ask for Philemon. Paul knows he's a godly, loving, mature Christian, but it's not going to be easy for him. So I wonder if we are willing to forgo our rights, willing to give up what we feel we're entitled to for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of maintaining Christian fellowship, willing to swallow our pride, to accept an apology, to welcome back that Christian brother who has hurt us. Perhaps like Philemon, we need to remember that through the gospel, they are our brother, our sister. We're in no position to set ourselves above them, because we too are sinners, saved by grace alone. In the words of the song that we sang last week, beneath the cross of Jesus, his family is my own. Once strangers chasing selfish dreams, now one through grace alone. But I think for Paul, the welcoming back of Onesimus was even more than anything we've said so far. It wasn't just a test of Philemon's faith, a test of his maturity. More than that, it was a test of the gospel itself, a test of the message that Paul proclaimed. He said in his letter to the Colossians that in Christ there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, that Christ is all and is in all. Was that true? Would it prove to be so in this case? Was the gospel powerful enough to reconcile a runaway slave and an injured master? Not just an iron rations return, but a joyful return as Christian brothers, as equals. For the Roman world, that was scandalous. It was morally outrageous for a master to humiliate himself like this. No human agency was capable of bringing about that sort of transformation. Could this message of a crucified Christ really bring about that sort of change? Paul thinks it can. After all, why else is he writing this letter? He feels able to suggest that Onesimus, who is a dear son to him, is even dearer, even more precious to Philemon. And at the end, verse 21, he says to Philemon, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Yes, Paul knows that his gospel is powerful enough to bring this change. His confidence is not in Philemon himself, but in the power of the gospel at work in Philemon's life. This gospel, which is all we need for people to be fully reconciled to God, is all we need for people to be reconciled to one another. Even the most broken of human relationships, restored in the gospel. Paul is optimistic, but we're not actually told. We don't know whether Philemon did in fact welcome Onesimus back, no longer a slave but a dear brother. Except that this letter is in the New Testament. So we know that Philemon didn't rip it up as soon as he'd read it. We know the church kept it and treasured it and welcomed it as the very word of God. And if that's so, then surely he did welcome Onesimus too. The gospel did indeed pass the test. Powerful enough to reconcile slave and free, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, Serb and Croat, black and white, Ukrainian and Russian, all through history. Our world needs this gospel. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the mighty gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, powerful enough for reconciliation with you and with one another. We pray that this gospel would be at work in our lives, causing us to be humble, to seek forgiveness, and to give forgiveness. Please go on changing us to be the church you have made us to be in Christ Jesus. Amen.